Now we're going to talk cross country now. It's the title of the book, Explore Unseen America. And Ricky Gates joins me. How are you, Ricky?
I'm doing great. Thanks so much for having me on your show. I appreciate it.
Well, it's great to have you on. It's a pleasure. We're going back to 2017, and you're a professional runner, Ricky. And where did the idea come from to go across America like this and kind of chart your way and delve into America in this way?
Well, it's something that I've had in my mind for quite some time. I read a book called A Walk Across America when I was 16 years old, written by Peter Jenkins, and he walked from New England up in the great Northeast up there, yeah, down to Florida and then out to Louisiana, and wrote about it and about his experiences. That was in the 1960s or 70s. And it's something that always inspired me, and I wanted to give it a go at some point in my life. And 2017 just happened to be the right time for me and kind of the right time for the country as well.
Now, you, so we'll talk about it in a minute. Of course, you start off from, is it Carol? Let me, I lost my place here. So where do you start from? Tell us.
South Carolina.
Yes. Yeah.
Holly Beach, South Carolina.
And you finish off in San Francisco. Are there many that have done that journey before, do we know?
There's a few. The exact journey that I did, I'm sure that I'm the only person that's done that. But to walk or run across the country is becoming a little bit more popular here in the United States. The Appalachian Trail is, yeah, is certainly the most well known. But for me, I wanted something a little bit different in terms of both culture and geography. And it just made sense to me to go east to west and check out the South and see several different mountain ranges and the Great Plains and the Rocky Mountains and the Great American Desert. So
where's home for you?
Yeah.
Sorry.
Home before this was in Madison, Wisconsin. I was living in San Francisco with my then girlfriend, now wife. For a little while, that's why I wanted to finish there. But now we're living in Santa Fe, New Mexico, and we've kind of settled down here for the long term.
Right. So you actually flew over to South Carolina to start the journey back?
Well, I actually drove my little sister's car that she was wanting to sell, and I put an ad up on Craigslist. That's kind of our way of selling knickknacks and odds and ends. And I put an ad up on Craigslist to sell the car on the day that I started my journey. And sure enough, I arrived there and sold the car in the morning and started running in the afternoon.
So you drove from where to South Carolina in the car?
From Colorado.
Oh, right.
So that's yeah, it was about 2,000 miles to get out, yeah, there, and I don't know, it was a little bit daunting seeing all of these miles pass under the car at 60, 70 miles an hour, knowing that it was going to take me 5 months to cover those miles later on. So,
yeah,
but it all worked out quite well.
Now, you do it at a time, really, where, I mean, you must be somebody that's quite good at being on your own for quite a long period of time. I actually like traveling on my own, driving somewhere. It's when I got the family and the kids with me, because we have to stop every 10 minutes. But normally I just like to shoot, you know, go for as long as I can as quick as I can. Are you okay on your own for long periods?
I am okay on my own for long periods. And for something like this, for a journey like this, it was definitely my preference to be on my own. My goal was to meet as many people as possible and to talk to people and to shoot photographs. And with my experience with all of these things, it's way easier to do that when you're on your own rather than in a group or even with just one other person. It makes you less intimidating, and people are more open and willing to talk to you and, yeah, and have their photograph taken.
And so this is a time in American history. Well, it's been, I suppose, quite polarized society for quite some time now. And I suppose if you go to certain parts of America, you tend to think, and this is an outsider's point of view, you know, if you go down to Texas, they're more Republican. If you go up to San Francisco, they're more Democrat. Is it as black and white as that?
You know, it isn't quite as black and white as that. Certainly there's trends, and you hit the nail on the head there. But for me personally, I just really wanted to experience those stereotypes for myself, and to see, you know, where people's heads are at and how they can come to the conclusion that they have come to. And so I just knew that being on foot and being humble and vulnerable and open, I'd be able to talk to a lot of people out on the road. And the truth is that I actually talked politics very, very little out on the road, which was quite a relief, to be honest. And I just found that, you know, we have way more in common with each other than we do differences. And, you know, the media or politics can certainly amplify those differences to make it seem like that's what's keeping us separate.
And that's a massive issue. Even now, of course, with COVID-19, you know, you go on social media, if you've got friends and everybody's got an opinion on the latest government policy or whatever it may be for whatever state you're in America or country here in Europe. And it could be, you know, that you disagree or agree with the government. But a lot of the time, day-to-day stuff, I find most people aren't really that interested in politics. You know, their life carries on. They've got to do what they need to do to feed their family and make their life worth living. And so maybe the media is far more obsessed with politics than most people are.
I would certainly think that's the case. I would never, ever discount politics. I think that there's a lot of important things that are going on there, and discourse is very important. But it's just the age that we're living in where you know, there's a lot of echo chambers, and I think the internet promotes that, and especially now with COVID-19, where so many people are living a large part of their lives on the internet, how these things can really you know, be they just take root and take off. So that's where I find that it's extremely important to have conversations with our neighbors. And if our neighbors are several states away or several streets away, these conversations are important.
Were you surprised that you found yourself agreeing with people that you maybe at the beginning of the journey would have said, no, I wouldn't have seen much in common with them?
I was a little bit surprised. I've done a lot of traveling over the years. Over the past 20 years, I've probably spent about 10 of those years traveling abroad. And I think that was really helpful in terms of gaining empathy. It's pretty easy to gain empathy for a culture that's very, very different from yours. When it comes to your own culture, that's where I think it becomes a real challenge to really understand why somebody in Oklahoma or, you know, wherever, you know, just a couple states away, how they could think so differently than I think. And that's where the real exercise comes in.
And with America, it's so diverse, isn't it? As far as you could say that about many countries, but certainly with America and the size of it, you know, you're all Americans, but there's so many different kinds of Americans, if you, for want of a better term.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's fascinating. You know, I could do this trip 10 times over and still have so much to learn about this country. I'm just grateful to have had the opportunity to do it once and to gain some sort of understanding about this place where I've lived and called home my entire life.
Yeah, in a world that's fascinated now with celebrity and Hollywood and TV and stuff like that, it's quite refreshing to see everyday life and to see, get in touch with people like, you know, maybe were you surprised that you were in places where you've never heard of before, may never even go back to ever again, but there you are meeting with people and connecting with people.
Absolutely. Yeah. And you know, I'd love to recreate this journey, maybe not on foot, but maybe on bike or something and revisit a lot of these places and kind of see what my impression is of them 2-3 years down the road.
Now, what was the physical toll on your body? Were you, because apparently I was reading that you're eating like food from gas stations and so on, which isn't the healthiest, is it? But I suppose you're working off a lot of calories as well.
Yeah, I have this saying, you know, if you burn the engine fat, if you're running the engine hot enough, you can really burn anything. I always think about that Back to the Future, when Doc starts throwing trash into the gas chamber of the engine. And I kind of feel like that's how my engine was working when I was going across the country. No doubt that it was a physical toll. Pretty much from day two, I was tired for the next 150 days, waking up a little bit sore. But it also just goes to show how resilient the human body is and what we can put our bodies through. And, you know, because 10,000 years ago, you know, it wasn't that uncommon for us to be much more migratory and do something similar to what I was doing. So it was good to kind of get back in touch with that primordial sense of what it is to be a human being.
Now, I know you're a professional runner, but you must have been aching. Tell me and make me feel better that you were aching after this journey.
I was. The journey lasted 5 months, and I would kind of say that the recovery was approximately 5 months as well. So I spent a solid month just sitting on my butt and not doing a single thing. And then the next 4 months kind of easing back into running and doing some biking and regaining something of a love for it. And I'm happy to say right now I'm totally back to normal kind of eager to do something similar. We'll see.
What was the biggest toll? Was it on the leg muscles and so on, or back?
Lower back, some leg muscles. But I got to be honest, the biggest toll was mentally.
Yeah.
And I was sleeping outside virtually every night, and you're just kind of confronted with the elements, whether that be 110 degree heat in the desert or freezing rain or snow in the mountains. There's a little bit of trauma that goes along with that when you're sleeping outside and you're just not sure what the elements are going to bring you in the middle of the night. So
were you prepared for that? Yeah. Or did that take you by surprise, the whole psychological aspect to it?
I was not prepared for that. And I grew a lot as a result of it throughout. And you just kind of become accustomed to, you know, if it's 2 o'clock in the morning and it starts raining and you did a pretty bad job setting up your tarp, that it's time to get moving. early in the trip, you know, that probably would have made me cry. Yeah. Later in the trip, it was just the way things are.
Yeah, I would have been ringing somebody, come and pick me up.
Yeah.
Well, great to have you on. It really is so much more in there as well, with the photographs and so on and the great landscapes. But if anybody wants to get a copy of the book, they can go to our website, tre.radio. It's called Cross Country, a 3,700-mile run to explore unseen America. Thanks for coming on, Ricky. Really appreciate your time with us this afternoon.
Thanks so much. Have a wonderful weekend, and be safe.
Yeah, stay safe as well. Cheers, Ricky. Take care, my friend.